Yes, welcome. It's a New York Islanders podcast. I am the Hip, and this is the Lip.
A happy Monday evening to you all.
A trade deadline evening, indeed it is. NHL trade deadline. On this day that only occurs once every 4 years. February 29th, 2016.
Oh. That
is yes.
True. We leap ahead.
Right. And so what are we going to talk about tonight? Well, we already alluded to one topic. We're talking about the trade deadline that passed, and we're going to reserve excitement or lack thereof until we get to a few other items. Our typical, now typical, since we're in episode 10 here, I think it's fair to say typical routine of we'll do a quick standings recap of where the Islanders currently sit, and then talk about the last couple games, a overtime win and a loss, putting the Islanders on at 7-2-1 in their last 10 games. Not too shabby, as they're in the midst of this seven-game road trip where they're on the other side of the continent, basically. quick standings update here. So Metropolitan Division, as we speak, now this includes the games that have already been played tonight as well, Rangers games and Rangers and Penguins, who both won. Capitals, 94 points, 61 games. The Rangers with 80 points. They hit the 80-point mark with 63 games played. The Islanders at 73 points with 60 games played. So 3 games in hand for the Islanders there. Who's right on the Islanders' tail now with the Penguins winning? Penguins they have 72 points. So they're only 1 point back of the Islanders, but they do have a game in hand, but they're right there. And then you're starting to see a little separation in that division with Philadelphia 5 points behind Pittsburgh with 67, New Jersey tied with Philadelphia, and Carolina a point behind them with 64 games. So I think we're starting to actually see some separation here in this division. And if the season ended today, the Lip, who would the Islanders be playing in the first round of the playoffs?
Well, they would be playing their arch rivals, the New York Rangers, who have a date with a week from yesterday.
Right, and so how I know that the playoff format changed in recent years. Yeah, obviously you have the division winners, but then you have all these wild card teams, right? And how exactly do they seed the? You know, we're going into March. I think it's good to refresh the seeding situation for the NHL playoffs so that we can really follow game by game, because every game now feels like a playoff game, how the NHL playoff positioning works.
Well, I mean, the Islanders sit in the number 3 spot, so that's why they would take on the Rangers, who sit in the number 2 spot in their division. In the Atlantic, Tampa and Boston, well, I guess there's a Florida and Tampa tied, but the 2 and 3 seeds will play each other in the first round in both divisions. You have your divisional winners that will play the 2 wild card teams.
So the top 3 teams make the playoffs in each division. And then
correct.
And then the next 2 teams with the most points are the wild card teams in that conference. Is that right?
That is accurate.
Okay. And I mean, the way this is going, if the Islanders drop to, you know, Pittsburgh, where Pittsburgh is positioned, Pittsburgh would be the last wild card team. They would end up playing the Capitals, I guess. I guess you'd obviously rather play.
You definitely want to avoid in the first
round.
Yeah,
you want to avoid this year, the way this year is going. So, I mean, the way that this is kind of playing out, I mean, unless something drastically changes, it's on its path for the Rangers Islanders first round.
Yeah, they may be on a collision. Well, we all thought the same thing last year, of course, until the Islanders bowed out in game seven to the Capitals. But yeah, they are on a collision course right now. And of course, as you mentioned, the trade deadline came to today, and the Rangers, gave their lineup a little boost, and the Islanders did not. We will get into that a little bit.
You couldn't help but getting it in there. Fair enough. We're going to get to it later.
I thought, honestly, coming to the episode this evening, I really, especially thinking about, how the deadline would go and what they were going to do and were not going to do, I thought if they didn't make any significant moves that I would come, my head would explode, and just basically I would go off for, until I were able to kind of somehow get my attention and get me to stop. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it at any point during this episode. So just to, I guess, relieve our viewers, our listeners, if they're, I guess, anticipating that.
Well, you're reminding me of an obscure movie I'm going to bring up called Scanner or Scanner. I think it's Scanners.
Scanners.
And there's that scene that you can never erase from your memory, of a gentleman's head exploding. So, if you have the time to track that down, if you want an image that you'll never forget. So let's talk
another line I'll never forget is David Spade and Tommy Boy, when he gives that look. Then he scanners and you see his eyes almost like bug out of his head, but which is another kind of reminds me of that. Anyway,
so
as you were,
let's walk through the two games since our last episode. And by the way, I am back, in case you were wondering and concerned about my travel issues. I have returned back home here in New Jersey, and back to the routine of things. So two games since our last episode. The first was the Islanders win at Calgary. This was Thursday night last week. They had a 2-1 overtime win. Our good friend Josh Bailey getting the game winning goal. In overtime,
indeed.
Yeah, and so Halak played this game. Just point that one out as I continue to follow the goaltending on this team. I some people think that writers and otherwise are saying this is a non-issue, but I'm not ready to dismiss it so easily. But thoughts on the game?
Pretty lackluster performance from the New York Islanders, going up against one of the worst teams in the league, one of the worst defensive teams in the league, in the Calgary Flames. I thought that, they were pretty listless throughout the majority of the game. They were down 1-0 in the first period. Calgary controlled play for a good portion of it. I mean, not that they look so spectacular, Calgary, other than a line that featured Johnny Hockey, as he is nicknamed, even though Islander fans take umbrage because we would like that name pointed to our superstar by the name of Johnny. But Johnny Drow, a.k.a. Johnny Hockey, was skating circles around the Islanders for parts of that game. They really just were flat for most of the game. They were able to tie it in the third, a nice pass from Matt Martin, who has been one of the Islanders' best players over the last couple of games, if you believe that. Nice pass by Martin to Thomas Hickey, the Calgary native. And he was able to put a weak backhander past the Calgary goalie to tie it. And then, of course, went to overtime. This was the very first overtime this year that Jack decided to go to a two forward, 1D4. So finally, Jack decides to join all the other NHL coaches that have been in this method, the strategy over the last, for the entire season. So finally, Jack goes with two forwards. And they're able to win in the dying seconds of overtime. A beautiful pass from, even with that wall at open ice, still a beautiful pass, kind of thread needle there, Tavares to Bailey. Went in front, roofed it over the sprawled out, this pine goalie for the Calgary Flames. And the Islanders are escaping with 2 points, and Edmonton they were. But they were able to get the 2 points, so... No, you don't throw it away, but not exactly their best effort in that game.
So how many overtimes has it taken Mr. Jack to adopt the two forwards, one defenseman here? Almost 10 overtimes already, maybe this year, something like that.
It's got to be close to that.
Did somebody point out that this was the first time, or you just noticed from watching every single overtime game, you specifically look to see if there's two defensemen on the ice for the duration of those overtimes?
I do not remember any overtime where he put forwards on the ice. He always went with two defensemen and one forward. And the folks in Ireland are mainly also just equally as stunned as I was, when the overtime started and you saw two forwards on the ice. And, again, you want to know right or wrong, and, that's the coach decides whatever he wants to play the matchups, but I don't think Cat's strategizing here. He just, for whatever reason, just doesn't want to be aggressive, and he's trying to play not to lose, at least that's my opinion, by sending two defensemen and one forward out there. It hasn't worked. They've been terrible in overtime. It's not like they've been getting, it's not like they've been having success with it. If they were, fine. They haven't. They've been terrible. And they've looked terrible. I mean, it seems like how many overtimes that the ice did for the other team. So they finally, he finally changes it up. Finally, they change up. And, they were able to get a win. So about time, Jack.
All right, Jack.
I won't kudos. No kudos because this was long overdue.
Right.
So no kudos from the left to Jack. But finally, finally employed the switch.
I don't think you give Jack kudos really much at all in any situation. So we'll look out for when that happens in the near future.
If it warrants, I will offer it. I will extend my kudos when I feel it's appropriate.
All right. So,
so 2 points, you take them and you run, and that's
so. So run along. We will. To last night's game in Edmonton, the last game that the Islanders would play in Rextal Arena. Is that the
– Yeah, Rex.
Okay.
Yeah, in Rexall, yeah.
Rexall, yep. Rex whatever. And this was
Rexall Center, I think.
Yeah, whatever. This was Ryan Pulock's NHL debut.
Yes, it was.
Who did not play last night, who did play in the Calgary game to make room for Pulock?
Well, Zidlicky took a seat for Ryan Pulock, as you mentioned, was also something that was long overdue. He was called up. He was called up earlier, of course, on the road trip. So Zidlicky, like I predicted, just because of the fact that Zidlicky, at least in my opinion, sat him because he's a right-hand shot, straight stays in because he's a left-hander. So they played Pulock with straight. And, show debut. His parents were there. They showed him on TV. Apparently, Ryan Pulock grew up in Iowa, had an Islander on as a youngling, as they showed a picture of him as a five-year-old, which are all in his hockey gear with an Islander jersey. Apparently, his father was an Islander fan. How about that? Well, that was kind of cool to learn. I did not know that.
Yes, as we all react in excitement to that piece of knowledge. All right, maybe I'm being a little too hard.
Being a kid from Manitoba, if he grew up in New York.
But our content consultant will probably –
Father was an Islander fan.
our content consultant will probably give me a check minus on that remark. That's okay.
We'll see if it elicits you gas, of course, for those who are joining us for the first time. WGAS stands for Who Gives a Hoot, if you will.
We have to put on our website a list of, what all these
our
phrases
acronyms
stand for. Because we're not gonna say what it means every time that we say it. That would just be so repetitive. So we have to do that. We will. All right. So, look, this game now is lost. I mean, I was watching this game and it seemed kind of mad to me. I
thought it was
kind of fading. The goal. I can't remember if it was I think it was in the second period. I can't remember when the Islanders scored, honestly. they scored, and Edmonton puts up, I think, was it two goals within a minute or two in the third period, and then tacks on a third goal, 3-1, and it's like, all right, well, let's get out of this building and move on. I mean, I kind of another, to me, it was just another lackluster performance in a row. What were your thoughts on this one?
Oh, I agree. They were terrible. I thought they were worse in this game than they were the Calgary game. And I mean, honestly, you look at this road trip. I mean, the only game I'd say that they played well for the most part was Minnesota. They didn't play well in Jersey. They didn't play in the Calgary game. They didn't play well in this game either. So I mean, it's kind of alarming, especially since they were approaching the trade deadline. And as of course we mentioned, nothing of significance happened even after these. Couple of terrible performances against two of the worst teams in the league in Calgary and Edmonton, but no, they were bad. Cizikas scored the only goal of the game. It was kind of a fluky goal. It was a shot off of, I thought it was off his face, actually, the other defenseman. I guess it went off his shoulder or something. He was okay, came back, so that was good.
Yeah,
Cizikas was able to
it looked like he went down pretty painfully.
he went down like a sack of bricks, so you wondered if, you know, what happened there. Every time off the noggin or what, but it looks like he was okay. He came back, but Cizikas corralled that loose puck and ripped it past the goalie for Edmonton, and it was at that point a 1-0 Islanders lead, as you pointed out, which is the lead that they took to the third period. And I think, as we mentioned in our last podcast, the Islanders had a superior record going into the third period with the lead, and they had not, you know, relinquished three goal leads like they had traditionally over the last however many years. But they relinquished this lead. They tied it on a bad goal by Halak. I mean, it may have been screened, but it was a bad goal by Yaroslav Halak, and it was scored by a player that hadn't scored since last year. So this was his first goal of the season. Here we are, February 28th. So that's also fitting for the New York Islanders to allow a player, you know, to score when he hasn't scored like in three years.
I read that he hadn't scored in his last 60 games, or say over 60.
Whatever,
games.
Yeah. So. And he, of course, scores a tying goal there. And, you know, from you didn't think they were. Yeah, you didn't think
that's someone that scores less frequently than Brian Strait.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Strait has a goal in that span, doesn't he? So, yeah, of course, they give up the two goals. And, you know, game over, good night, the light. And the Islanders are moving on after another, again, a terrible performance, really, from start to finish. Power play was awful. Edmonton was controlling the puck in their own zone for, you know, huge chunks of time. I mean, I said that Johnny Gaudreau was skating circles around them. Well, half the Edmonton team was skating circles around the Islanders in this game. You know, again, a lot of offensive talent, of course, over there at Edmonton, as we talked about in one of our prior podcasts when the Islanders demolished the Oilers 8-1. So this, of course, a little bit of a different tone to this game. But, you know, a couple players that I thought had miserable games were Kyle LaPosa and Ryan Strom. Strom had a mind-bogglingly terrible turnover. It was either in the first or second period, I forget, but it was highlighted by Butchie. It was just like a absolutely astoundingly bad turnover. Posto has been playing terrible, dreadful hockey over the last few games. He's just been manningly inconsistent this year. And you really wonder what's going through his head right now, is he doesn't have a new contract. And there was that article in Newsday, keep me here. So you wonder, you know, where his mind is right now, but he hasn't been good. The only positive I take out of this game is Ryan Pulak.
How do you, I mean, look, when you're watching these games, I mean, to notice, let's just use this Kyle Aposo for a minute. How do you notice when you're watching how, like, a particular guy suddenly looks like he's playing worse for a few games than he was, you know, previously? Are you, like, when you're watching, are you, like, trying to focus on one guy on the ice and, like, really, you know, put, like, how do you keep pay attention to, like, five guys on the ice and, you know, oh, this one, you know, this one looks like it's, well, I mean, you've watched a lot more hockey than me, so it's just, I'm just trying to train myself to do it, but it's not easy.
No, some things will stand out to you. You know, if a player commits, you know, a couple egregious turnovers, you know, pointed out Strome, it's going to stand out. Other things, I mean, you look to see what the player does well. And is the player, you know, doing the things that he needs to do? You know, if he's not producing, if he's not scoring, or producing offense, you're looking for other things. And Kyle Oposo just looks like his skating is off. He just looks, he hasn't been, his skating is has not been very strong recently. His board play leaves a lot to be desired. And usually when he's best, he's very strong along the boards. Look, he tries to make skillful plays. He doesn't always succeed. And look, you can live with him giving up the puck every now and again. It's not the end of the world if he's trying to make a play. I agree with it, but he has not been, he has just not been physically engaged. He looks like he's just kind of like in a fog almost. He just has not looked good. He has not, he hasn't been aggressive. He hasn't been strong along the wall, which is one of his, biggest strengths. And it's been kind of alarming because, they need him in order for them to make a run. He is a very important player for them.
Basically, it's the player has kind of established a baseline of his skill set for you, and you notice that he's not doing some of those things in some of the games, and that is how you pick up on this generally.
Yeah, and some players, have, as you mentioned, you develop a baseline for a particular player skill set. Every player has different skill sets.
Right. I'm thinking less about the examples of where there's really obvious bad plays, right? It's more the subtle ones. Like, I tried to watch, if I see Josh Bailey on the ice, just because of how you've knocked him in the past, and I'll just see that he's like, there's guys battling on the boards, like behind the net for the puck, and I see him kind of like idling just around in front of the net, kind of like not doing
floating,
anything.
But like, oh, absolutely, yeah, and you'll see that quite often. Here's to your point overall. Michael Grabner is a former Islander player, traded this past offseason, he's as fast as the wind. And when they brought him in, he'd turned into a goal scoring machine in his first year. He had a stretch there where he scored a ton of goals, and he was doing it because he was utilizing his feet, but he was also physically engaging in the play. And when he stopped doing that, he just started floating, waiting for an opportunity, to take off and wait for the puck, or wait for somebody else to make a play and get him the puck instead of him, being more aggressive and physically engaging. He was not nearly the same player. I couldn't stand watching him play. I mean, it became to the point where he was like you talk about my hostility towards Josh Bailey. Well, I mean, I reserved it a lot for Michael Grabner for there. And when they played the Penguins in the playoffs a couple of years ago, I thought he was their, arguably he's their forward after Kyle Oposo. I thought he was absolutely phenomenal in that series. But the point I'm making is that when you saw him physically engaging into the play, he was that much better and that much more noticeable, making that much more positive plays. And Kyle Oposo has not been doing that. Josh Bailey rarely that. Kyle Oposo, when he's on his game, when he wants to play, he is doing that a lot, and he's making a lot of the plus plays. And that's why he's been one of the, their best players over the last few years.
Okay. And so maybe this is part of the lull that the Islanders have having his, he's contributing towards that in these last few games, or not contributing, resulting in the Islanders not playing quite up to their ability. So without further ado, unless you have anything else left on the game from last night.
I do want to say the one positive that you take out was, as you mentioned, Ryan Pulock made his NHL
right.
debut.
Yep.
And I thought that he was very, very good. Now, look, there's going to be a learning curve. He's a rookie. This is his first NHL game. You don't want to go too crazy. But he looked very, very good. I was very impressed by him. He was skating really well. He was aggressive. He pinched a couple times. You want to say ill-advised, maybe, but he'll learn. When the right time is to pinch on the play, to be aggressive and try and make a play on the puck, down low in the offensive zone. But he was very good in getting back. He showed. He was very good in skating, getting back on those plays, and he had an absolute howitzer, cannon, bomb, whatever euphemism you want to use to describe his shot. He has a fantastic shot, and you actually saw it hurt the goalie yesterday for Edmonton on a shot that the goalie stopped, but you saw him in a lot of discomfort after the play, and usually you don't see that often, regardless of how hard somebody shoots, you have that padding. But apparently Ryan Pulock did damage to the Edmonton goalie on that play, so he has a, and he was put onto the first power play unit in the third period there, so let's just hope. I'm just going to say this right now, Ryan Pulak, unless he just completely regresses here and he looks like he's over his head, which it doesn't look like he's going to be, he can't go anywhere. He has to stay here. He has to play. And when Calvin DeHaan comes back, your top six defensemen should include Ryan Pulak and should not include Ryan Strait or Eric Siddiqui. So thumbs up to Ryan Pulak's game yesterday. That was the one positive that you took out of it.
Part of me hopes that somehow Strait and I keep drawing a blank on the other, the Tweedledee Tweedledum.
Siddiqui,
yeah. Right. that Garth decides to do something contrary to what you're demanding and having your head explode, because it'd be worth it for us to see. But for the betterment of the team, I suppose maybe I wouldn't hope that. All right. Because this is an intense playoff race right now. So, and to improve their playoff chances or not, the Islanders did in fact make a move at this trade deadline. So tell us what your thoughts were about the deal.
Well, you heard me in the last, and our listeners heard me in our last episode talk about how I felt that Garth needed to go out and make a significant move, make a move for an impact player. Now, here's the bottom line. Nobody knows what players are really made available. Nobody knows, the talks that take place between general managers, in the days leading up to the NHL trade deadline and then on the day itself. There's two schools of thought. And, I go through the message boards and the Twitter now. I'm on the Twitter and looking at, comments people post on there as well. And there are those that will go to one end of the spectrum and say, Garth blew it today. He failed today. He had to go out and make a big move. If he did, they needed a jolt. They needed somebody to come in that could, change the dynamic of the team and, really give the team a boost. And he failed to do that. The other school of thought is, well, they may have needed, it may have been a good positive for them to make a move. However, that player was not out there. That player that you want. On it was either too expensive. If it was a rental, it was going to be too expensive. If it was a player on the contract, that player probably was not available. So those are the two schools of thought and the two extremes, I guess, that you can go to, or the two ends of the spectrum. So I lean towards the fact, in my opinion, Garth really did not do the Islanders, did not. Not the team and the fan base any service today by basically doing not making any kind of significant move here. Shane Prince is a guy that I don't know too much about. He was a former second round pick a couple of years ago. Has played 40 something games this year for Ottawa, or I forget how many games he's played. And he has, I think, 12 points in goals. He supposedly has ability. He supposedly has some talent. I doubt he'll make any kind of impact this year, even if he, will get into a game, depending on injuries and whatever. You may see him, but I honestly don't think you're going to catch lightning in a bottle with this guy. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't see it. And while people apparently think that this could end up being a pretty good trade if this guy keeps developing and, may end up being a contributor at this level, I don't think it's going to do him any good this year. And overall, I was very disappointed in the outcome today. I thought that after the playoff series last year, when they lost in seven games, that they had to make improvements to the team, that the team had made strides, but that more work had to be done. And Garth didn't do anything in the offseason. He did nothing other than bringing in a backup goalie who's done a great job. It's been a very good signing by Garth, so props to him for that. Grice has been terrific. But he did not go out and improve the team. Other than that, did not make any kind of improvements to the team since Game 7 of last year. And as I pointed out in the last podcast when I gave the Mets analogy and how it was finally time to take the next step in the rebuild, there has to come a point when a general manager needs to realize that you get as far as you can go with a group of guys, with a group of players, and sometimes you need to make a change to the team that could have that kind of significant impact. And to say that it wasn't out there, or just to say that, what did you expect from him, or he couldn't have done anything to me as a cop-out for him to say that, you know, I like this group of guys, and, you know, even though this team only got to a game seven in the first round this year, I think we can make improvements. I think it's also, I think we can, you know, go farther this year with the same group. I think that's also a cop-out. And honestly, Garth was expecting their young players, Strome, Lee, guys like that, to improve, which is one of the biggest fallacies in sports, to think that, you know, just to think that it's an automatic that young players that show potential are just going to improve, and that hasn't happened. And now you're basically stuck failing in mediocrity, as this team has been. They've been very inconsistent all year long, and they have not demonstrated to me that they are ready to take the next step. You saw other teams in their conference get better, including the Rangers, who went out and got Eric Staal. And they're basically saying, they're basically throwing caution into the wind and saying, we're going for it, we don't care. And the Islanders are no better today than they were yesterday. And that's the bottom line.
And the
Islanders, I know I just took up a lot of time there. So your thoughts on my thoughts.
Why are the Islanders not throwing caution into the wind is the question.
I mean, according to Garth, he didn't want to surrender a first-round pick for a rental. The couple of guys that were out there, Andrew Ladd, who would have been a great addition to the team, he would have been a rental. He's a free agent at the end of the year. But maybe you could replace Oposo if Oposo walks at the end of the year. Maybe you sign him. You know, you have then, if you have him on your team, do have the negotiating window with him until free agency, maybe you're able to keep him here. Michael Bob was another guy that was traded today, also a free agent at the end of the year. Colorado gave up a D for him. Could he have, you know, been the answer? Maybe, maybe not. You know, or at least, you know, could he improve the team? I think he could have been. Could he have been that impact player? You know, maybe or maybe not. The bottom line is, every general manager, you have to know when to take a gamble and take a risk. And he did this actually 10 years ago when he traded for Ryan Smith, the trade that I will defend him to this day. It didn't work out as he had planned, but sometimes, you know, your plans, you can't have this like linear way of thinking when it comes to, you know, building and developing a team. At some point you're going to have to, react to circumstances and know it's time to make maybe to deviate from the plan and go out and, make a move that'll positively impact the team. And bottom line is he has done that since April of last year. Well, there you go, that thoughts. So you have any thoughts on my thoughts? You think, like I said, I wasn't going to go on a complete, insane lunatic type rant. I thought I was going to, if they came away with what they came away with today. I'm disappointed, they're no better today.
The question I'm left with, you said it's a cop out to say, well, you don't know who was actually available. I get that point. That said, though, you mentioned Andrew Ladd. That's one guy that they could have gone after. Fine. Any other?
He would have been a tremendous addition to the team.
Any other notable names offhand? You know, because one guy you don't know is he still on the? Did he get traded today? I don't know.
He got traded to Chicago a couple days ago. And another team in Chicago that has won the Cup three times in the last 6 years, yet they're still, they're still trying to improve their team and get better and make another run in another Stanley Cup, even though they've won three.
Yeah. What are the Islanders waiting for is the question.
And that's the question that all Islander fans have been asking. When is it going to be now? We hear about assets. We hear about asset management when it comes to prospects and draft picks. And, again, I can appreciate that. I understand that you can't, always shoot from the hip or do things where you deviate out of having a specific plan, especially when in a salary cap era, trying to, make sure that you don't mismanage, draft picks and prospects. I get that. But at the same time, there has to come a point where you have to, basically, like I said, throw caution to the wind and go for it and make a move that while may appear to be risky, may pay, good dividends, in the future, whether it's in the immediate future or in the long-term future. And, he's pounced on, he's had a couple opportunities to improve the team by acquiring last year, Boychuk and Lenny took advantage of a vulnerable Boston Bruin, Chicago Blackhawk team that had to get rid those plays that they were up against the Caps. We took advantage of that. Good for him. But it can't always be in that situation. You have to – sometimes when, you know, the opportunity presents itself, you have to pounce on it. And every expert that I heard over the last couple of days and then after the deadline today were thinking that the Islanders had to make a move and then were surprised when they didn't make a more significant move other than Shane Prince.
Well, maybe Shane Prince is some like you said, you didn't know who he was until today. So it gives you a lot of hope and excitement of their new acquisition.
Well, even, I guess, you know, we'll see. Apparently they were not happy in Ottawa. Apparently they thought that a third-round pick as compensation for him wasn't good enough, and they were upset that he was traded, as I guess he has shown flashes that he can –
do we know who he's going to play with?
I don't know what they're going to do with him right now. I don't know if he's just going to be inserted into the lineup tomorrow. I mean, he may be. Grabowski's not coming, you know, isn't coming back yet, so it's possible that he'll be inserted right away into the lineup tomorrow. If he does, I don't know where they'll play him. Right. You know, we'll see. I thought Garth since last April, he's failed to improve.
Maybe we'll make ourselves feel a little bit better for just a minute by taking our mind off the Islanders and giving you a chance to talk about the alumni game that took place a few days ago. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Before we do that, you know, watching sports and following sports as long as you have, I mean, you know, every, you know, it's not always an exact parallel to compare sports, but, you know, in other sports, I mean, we've seen GMs make moves that have paid dividends. Again, I drew the analogy from the Mets, you know, when they, you know, made the trade for Yonas Cespedes, and you saw the reverberations that it had throughout that team and that lineup and how it changed the dynamic of that team. And you saw where they ended up at the end of the season after being a mediocre team for a majority.
And they ended up re-signing him.
And they end up re-signing him, which they may not have signed him if he wasn't on the team. Whether you think it was a good move or not, you know, exactly. It's a different conversation. But
Yep.
I just wanted to see if you had any additional. I guess if you thought I was, my overall school of thought is fair. You think I'm being unfair?
Question I think that remains, like I said before, is who else would you have wanted the Islanders to actually get? And at what price, you know? So hard to answer that. I get it, but you know, that's probably the counter question when, you know, somebody's saying, oh, well, you got to do something. Well, they're not going to do it just for the sake of doing it, obviously, but who and at what price are you willing to, like what did the Blackhawks pay to get Ladd on their team?
I gave up a first-round pick and a prospect.
So would you do that if you were if you were Garth Snow? If you were the GM of the Islanders, would you have done that?
I would be willing at this point to trade a first-round pick, even if it's for a rental. Yes, I would be.
And
I think most Islander fans would have been because Andrew Ladd is a very good player, and I think he would have been a perfect fit here game he plays, the style he plays. I think he would have been a perfect fit here. So yes, for what Chicago gave up. Now I don't know. I don't think he had a no-trade clause, Ladd. I mean, I know that he didn't I don't think he wanted to come east. I think he wants to stay out there or whatever. So I don't know how realistic it was. But to answer your question, yes, I would have given up a first-round pick and a prospect for Angela. Yes.
Okay. On the record.
All right. Next.
Well, so do you want – do you care about this alumni game at all?
We'll do it for 2 minutes, just like – to pay homage. Well, did you watch any of this, or did you watch any of the outdoor game in Colorado on Saturday night?
I did not watch. I was not. I was still in Orlando. I was not watching.
All right, that's right. Friday night. Yeah. Well, I just wanted to pay homage to Colorado, Detroit, and it was funny watching because I don't know if you've seen any YouTube videos of these two teams going back to the mid-90s and earlier last decade.
Sure.
96 to 2002 was
Patrick Roy. Yes.
Patrick Roy, indeed. And him fighting Chris Osgood and Mike Vernon back in the day. So I don't know how much context or history those two teams, but they were two of the best teams in the league for, you know, a good 7-8 year stretch there. 5 cups combined between those teams, multiple play series. You know, vicious, nasty, skillful hockey, you know, really, and even in the Deg Puck era, really was must-see TV when those two teams got together. And it was just surreal kind of watching the game because I'm sure that there's probably still hard feelings and unresolved hostilities that exist between the players that were playing in that game. And just see them after watching so many of those players involved in like these vicious game brawls and fights and just hard, nasty hockey that they played against each other for so many years where they, where there was just so much animosity between those teams. To see these guys now play a friendly exhibition game was kind of surreal. So just watch. That's kind of what was going through my mind. And even Brendan Shanahan after the game said he was not happy with the outcome. Detroit lost. Detroit alone lost the game. So, and he was like, I'm not happy with the outcome. But it was a very spirited, competitive game. And it was actually very it was really fun to watch, probably. And I've watched a few bits and pieces about alumni games here. And
most of the big names participated, right?
Yeah, and you had multiple Hall of Famers in that game on Detroit. You had Lidstrom and Yzerman and Tomas Holmstrom and
Chelios.
Chelios and then Bork for Colorado, right? And Peter Forsberg.
Did Sakic play?
Joe Sakic. Joe Sakic played. He scored a goal with his trademark wrist shot. So, yeah, multiple Hall of Famers in the game.
Osgood and Waugh both played?
No Osgood, actually. I don't think Osgood. No Osgood. I don't know where he or Vernon. I don't know where either of them were. But Patrick Waugh, Roy, did play.
All right, good stuff.
He did play in the game. So.
Nice little.
It was. It was just very surreal watching it, considering how intense and bitter rivals they were. One of the best rivalries in history.
Let's get to this week's hipster moment of Zenith. Yes.
All right.
It actually kind of piggybacks off of last week's hipster moment of Zenith. You recall that regarding
Russ Salzberg's
reporting of priorities with New York sports. So there was an article in Newsday last week. It was talking about, it was the game where the Devils beat the Rangers 5-2. And what it was talking about is how hockey is now, given the current climate of New York sports, there's really no better opportunity set up for hockey in New York to get like maximum attention. The basketball teams here are just awful. Nobody's watching the Knicks and nobody's watching the Nets. And so, If there's going to be attention given to these hockey teams, I mean, this is the year for it to happen. Now, especially with the Islanders in Brooklyn, maybe you'd think that the Islanders are in Brooklyn for a few years that maybe they'd be more set up for attention. But look, they're here now. They're in a playoff race. They may be playing the Rangers in the first round. So it gives excitement for the sport in New York now that you and I are dedicated to talking about it every week. Ironic, considering what the hipster moment of Zenith was last week, and how maybe it hasn't come to
Islanders
fruition quite yet.
Or Islanders lose, Rangers win.
But look,
back to Noah Syndergaard picking his nose.
Exactly in pitchers and catchers, we'll see. But there is an opportunity here for hockey to really catch on in the next month in New York. I don't know. I don't know what's going to make it happen, though. That's the thing. What's going to suddenly?
Islanders Rangers playoff series. That will do it. Everybody will take their attention off of baseball. Of course, being
baseball
full
will
swing
be
by then, but
yeah. Baseball will be in.
I think it'll even force Mike Francesa to talk about hockey when when the Mets may have a big series against Colorado and they're going to be pitching Harvey Syndergaard and DeGrom. Oh my God! But he may actually have to talk about hockey for majority of show. So but I think that's the best way. I mean, for New York,
and
just to basically
look, we
focus
should want
on
that too. Shouldn't Islander fans want that? I mean,
I would love it. I would love
you
it.
Want it?
I would. It's been too long. It's been 22 years since those two teams have played. I still have a bitter taste from 94. So it's time to rid our palates of that.
Yeah. Let's make it happen. It'll be a lot of fun. So
it'll be a blast. I mean, to lose, talk to me, if and when they lose. Of course, we'll see what happens. But the Islanders are playing right now. They're not beating anybody in the playoffs. But, we'll see. Maybe they'll peak.
They'll Well, they got
towards the end of the season.
Right. So let's talk about the upcoming slate here. They round out their 7-game road trip with their next three games tomorrow night at Vancouver, then Thursday night at Winnipeg, and then they essentially return home to a game at Madison Square Garden Sunday late afternoon against the Rangers, speaking of which. And we will have a show after that game, either that day or the next shortly thereafter, so we could talk about. I'll be looking specifically at Kyle Okposo. Are there any other and Ryan Pulock? Well, hopefully he continues to play and shows well. Are there any other players who you think that we should be focusing on who have like played crappy and should be turning around? Like, are there any players going into these games that you're specifically interested in seeing how they do?
I mean, you know, you have ebbs and flows to, you know, to any season. So you're going to have guys that are going to be, you know, playing better at, you know, certain times than others. But I will say over the last games that their best line, and I know they've broken it up because they've had injuries, but, Zekas, Martin, and Clutterbuck have been, you know, their best. I think their best forwards over the last two games, hands down. You know, they're driving possession, and you know they're getting in on the check, and you know they've scored a couple of goals and been in on a couple of goals, as I mentioned earlier. And you know, there are other skill guys like, again, Okposo, Strome, Lee, Bailey. I mean, you know, we've been saying Josh has to step up his play for the last 7 years. I don't expect it to be different now. So, you know, you have to live it. You know, it is what it is with him. You know, he can contribute a little bit here and there and not completely, you know, hurt you in other aspects of the game. But, I mean, the two guys I would focus on right now are Okposo and Strome. I think, you know, Lee does what he does. You know, he's going to, you know, score those goals in front of the net as long as he's, you know, you know, maintaining a strong play along the boards, which has been better, and getting in front of the net, which he has to try to do better. But the two guys I would tell you to focus on are Okposo and Strome, because they have really, really struggled.
All right.
I want to see a lot more.
Starting tomorrow night in Vancouver, 10 p.m. Eastern start. So the most of dedicated Islander fans will be staying up till the hopefully not bitter end.
I love it. I love. There's nothing better than falling asleep to the Islanders at midnight or 12:30 when the game's going to end. I absolutely love it. It's. I look forward to those Western Canada.
Even if they're losing.
Yeah, well, I guess then it gives me an excuse to turn it off and go to sleep if they're losing or getting blown out or something. Okay. It's like, all right, now I can turn it off. But if they're winning, then hopefully I can be half asleep to see like a goal at the end of the game or something to win or whatever.
All right. Well, that does it.
All right.
It was a good show, and we'll see you early next week with a recap of three games, this long road trip coming to an end. And with that, I am the Hip. And
of course,
this is
the Lip.
Yes. All right.
Yes. All right.
Say bye.
Thanks.
Say bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
All right. Bye.
All right.